You ever heard this? Y'all Christians can't do nothing. Y'all can't have no fun. You're so locked up and stiff. You ever hear that? I used to say that. And I was miserable when I said it because I was lost and going to hell. I thought I was having fun. And I thought they were the ones that were miserable. And turned out I was the one that was miserable. Amen. I just never known real life, so I was confused. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Amen. To be a successful person, the world thinks you have to be rich. To be a successful person, the world thinks you have to have a lot of enjoyment, a lot of fun. You know the word fun is not in the Bible. To be a successful person, the way the world looks at it and then the way the Bible teaches it are completely opposite. The world says get all you can get and enjoy it while you got it. Like the prodigal son. He said, "Father, I want what's coming to me now." And he went and spent all in riotous living. And he lost every friend he had. And he came back with one suit of clothes and it smelled like the hog pen. He had a belly full of corn husk. It was nasty and dirty, unshaven. And what he went out to find, he didn't find it. He had to come back home to the Father to find true peace and happiness and success. And he wasted, the Bible says he wasted those years in riotous living. Now, we've wasted some years. Yes. Most of us have. Some of you grew up in a good home and you were taught well, and maybe you didn't waste years, but most of us in this room wasted some years. Right. And some of us in riotous living. Yes. And boy, if we could just have back all that the devil took away from us, wouldn't it be something? All he stole from us in that riotous living. Man. So the world says, grab all the gusto you can get and get it right now because you may not get it tomorrow. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's their philosophy. So if you have that philosophy, it doesn't matter who you hurt to get what you want. It doesn't matter who you run over to get what you think is going to make you happy. It doesn't matter how you get it. It's just how you get it. I saw a bumper sticker on the back of one of those big redneck pickup trucks. And by the way, if you jack that truck up, would you please fix your headlights where they don't blind me when you go down the road? Stupid. But anyway, the bumper sticker said this: "The one that dies with the most toys wins." And I thought, like the Bible said, "Thou fool. Who's going to inherit what you got that you went and got? You went all that trouble to get all those toys. It's not going to be yours. You're not going to be the winner. You're going to be the loser." So when you read Proverbs, we studied all the way through the book of Proverbs, you see some truth in Proverbs that you won't see in Hollywood. And you're not going to hear it sung from Nashville or wherever, L.A. or wherever they make music now. You're not going to see it on the Oprah. You're not going to see it on, what's that other hussy's name that comes on now? Joyce Meyer, or whatever all them hussies are. Yeah, that's what they are. And you're not going to see it there because they don't know the truth. Jesus said that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Now, we used to worry about what people thought about us, whether or not we were successful in life or successful in enjoying things or whatever. But once we found, well, the truth found us, and he set us free, we begin to see things differently. And now we don't measure success the same way that we used to. Now we don't measure enjoyment or happiness or anything the way we used to. Is anybody with me tonight? I mean, it's a different mind. It's a different everything. We live in a different world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. Amen? We're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through, man. We're looking for a country and a city whose builder and maker is God. That's where our joy and peace and success will end there. Right now, we're on a journey. We're not there. But there are some things in Proverbs that will help us along the way. Look there at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. In verse 7 and 8, he says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." He said, look here, you fear the Lord. Don't think you know everything. You don't. That's right. What did I'm always telling you that Mark Twain said, when a kid turns 12, you'll nail him in a box because he loses his mind. And don't let him out till he turns 25 before he gets it back. But we'd have to move that up to 35 in the current generation, wouldn't we? I mean, maybe older than that. Amen. They lived in mama's basement. But anyway, he said, look here. You want health. You want a good life. You want marrow to your bones. You want health to your navel. And the reason he says that, that's where you, your sustenance from your mother came. He says, you want that? Then you fear the Lord. And you depart from evil. And you stay away from that stuff. And then if you look at Proverbs 4, look at verse 20. He explains why in verse 20 in Proverbs chapter 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You know what that means? You abstain from evil. You get away from evil. Now, as Christians, we're even supposed to abstain from the appearance of it. But you abstain from it, and you'll live longer. Amen. You'll live longer. You go talk to doctors. You talk to policemen and mental professionals and all that. And they'll tell you that somebody that lives a clean life lives a lot longer than those that are drunken sots and drug addicts. And every day we look in the newspaper to look for the I quit list, you know, the obituary where they quit smoking and drinking and doing dope and running around. And you'll live a lot longer and your name won't be in there. And most of us have outlived a lot of our friends because God opened our eyes to that secret right there. And when God looks up, he says, now that's a successful life right there. They're avoiding evil. They're abstaining from evil. They're honoring their father and their mother. They're honoring the Lord. They're honoring my word. And therefore, he blesses them. And now some of us, we've got health problems. Now we're in old age from the sins that we committed when we were younger. Come on. Yeah, that's right. COPD, lung cancer, diabetes, and in some cases, brain deterioration, you know, and that's serious. I'm not just joking about it. Brain deterioration, everything like that, you know. We're suffering from when we didn't walk in His ways and in His Word. Amen? Amen. And he says, as far as Christian life is concerned, you want health? Now, look, there's a new diet out every day. Every day. Now, really, there's a new book out about dieting every day. Or a new video. Or a new club. Or a new organization that you can join to lose your fat. Come on. Every day. And the only people getting wealthy off that's the ones selling the books and the tapes and all that stuff. But every day, there's something coming out about how to be healthy. My wife, she ain't in here, y'all don't tell her. She got it from my daughter Suzanne. My daughter Suzanne's on all this stuff, you know. And they try to keep me eating healthy, and I sneak around. I stopped at the QT the other day and I got me a drink, the cheap one. I didn't get the big one like y'all do. I got the little cheap 69 cents. You know, and every time I walk by those apple fritter, whatever they call it, it's like an apple turnover type thing. They're about that long, they're about that wide, they're about that thick, and the apple just pour, and you put them in the microwave, and it's like, I feel like Eve every time I go by there. And I get them. Don't tell my wife. Y'all don't tell her. But my daughter now, she is on the elderberry cure. Y'all heard of that? We're not talking about the wine you used to drink. We're talking about the elderberry cure. I used to have a friend. Me being exposed to alcohol was I had a friend named Doug, and he would rob his daddy's elderberry wine shed every weekend and get drunk. Anybody want to get drunk with elderberry wine? But this elderberry juice, they say if you drink just that much every day, it'll stove off colds and all. And my wife gives it to me every morning. And I drink it because it's real sweet. It's real sweet. I drink it. But you can go on every plan you want to and die early. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived was Dr. Lester Roloff. He was a pastor down in Texas. Some of y'all remember him, you older folks. Preached, little old skinny man. he preached on a sermon called Pawing in the Valley. Pawing in the Valley. And he preached another one on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, some of the greatest preaching you ever hear. But he was a legalist when it came to eating. He had these girls' homes and boys' homes. He'd take in these drug addicts. He said, sugar's killing our kids. So he took all the sugar away from them, took all the light bread. They had to go fishing. They caught their own fish. They grew their own garden. And he wasn't but about that big around, you know. And other preachers would kid to him, you know, during conferences and stuff. He'd always bring it up. And other preachers, when they'd get up behind him, they'd kind of poke fun at him, you know. Well, he flew his own airplane. He had a little Cessna airplane, you know, one of the little ones, so he could fly those little girls. He called them the honeybees around. They'd sing for him. And so he was always preaching to other preachers about against hamburgers and hot dogs. Well, it's not funny. His airplane crashed. And Dr. Jack Hiles got up to preach his funeral, and he said, I told you, Dr. Roloff, you should have eaten you some hamburgers. You wasted all those years. You didn't even get a hamburger. Now you did. And I thought that was a terrible thing to say at your funeral. You didn't get a hamburger. I had a Bible college teacher. As a matter of fact, he was the head of the Blessed Hope Baptist Bible College. And Dr. Perrine was his name. He was about that big around. His wife was littler than him. His kids were littler than him. They were starving their kids to death. They didn't allow them to eat sugar, white bread, or, you know, all this spaghetti and all this stuff we eat, you know. They ate a lot of salads and vegetables. And I'm not against that, as long as you put a little meat on the side to go with it. Amen, Brother Jeffrey? I'm all for a salad if you put some chicken on it or some beef on it, or you know. It ain't nothing wrong with salad. It's good for you. Keep you working. But they wouldn't allow their kids to have it. They wouldn't take it. And I'd go in and I'd pick them. I'd get off work. I'd rush to school, you know, at night. And I'd walk in. And he was always sick. They were sickly people. And I just told him one night, I said, Brother Prime, if you'll go down here and get you a round-the-world pizza with everything on it, with crust about that thick, and you and your wife eat it, you'll live forever. He didn't think that was funny. You know what? He died young. He died a good man. I'm not saying he broke God's law. I'm just saying God can give you a long, healthy life. He can do that. Now, while they were alive, they were very healthy. I'm not picking about their health. I'm just picking about how funny that is compared to most of us. Amen? But God looks out for the ignorant sometimes, like me and you, and He lets us eat that apple fritter every once in a while. But these people are hunting a secret to live forever. You see these old women and old men out there, 85 years old, out there jogging. And they jogging up and down the road in them little spandex pants. And by the way, since when was it a rule you can't run unless you wear spandex? And when was it a rule you can't ride a bicycle unless you wear spandex? Some of the ugliest men I ever seen in my life was wearing, I call them pantyhose, riding that bicycle. Riding that bicycle. And by the way, I've rode bicycles all my life. I used to ride them back and forth to work. Me and my wife still ride them. We don't own a helmet. I'm not putting on that stupid looking little old helmet. And by the way, if you fall, are you going to land on your head? Because that's the only thing you got covered. And you usually don't. You usually fall like this, not like this. But they're trying to live forever. They're trying to come up with ways. New vitamins, new regimens, new exercises, and all this stuff. And it is impossible to live forever outside of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's impossible to be healthy the way God wants you to be outside of the will of God. You will shorten your life outside the will of God, living a sinful life. Some of our kids and grandkids and some of your kids and grandkids, they think that we're trying to rob them of some secret pleasure. Don't drink that. Don't drink that. Don't smoke that. Don't do that. And Billy, what they're thinking is, they're thinking, you had such a good time at it, you just don't want them to know how good it was. And they don't recognize you can't hardly drag your old self out of bed every morning and go to work because you did do it. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you won't look, he said, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You'll be strong. Amen? Amen. We better not talk too much more about that. I get to think about other things I like to eat. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord. And boy, if I stopped right there, everybody in here would say, amen, wouldn't you? If all I said was honor the Lord, y'all shout me out. But look what else it says. With thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, turn to Malachi. Malachi. Don't tell me you can't find it. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Turn to Malachi, chapter 3. Last book in the Old Testament. I used to call it Malachi. When I first started reading the Bible, I'd say, turn to Malachi. I heard somebody on TV the other day call Ecclesiastes. They called it Ecclesiastes. I don't even know how you pronounce that. Ecclesiastes. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 10. It doesn't matter what you call it. Do you read it?
Amen.
Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And look here. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If, he said, let me show you, prove me, let me show you, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. That means it don't ruin the harvest. Saith the Lord of hosts. There was a man that owned Harvest Time Bible Camp, Mr. Bud Mims. Mr. Bud Mims went to Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte when he was younger, and it was a good fundamental church. He worked in the bus ministry, and he worked in a machine shop in Charlotte. He worked in a machine shop. And he worked in a machine shop putting machinery together, factory machinery. And so they had gotten some contracts on food preparation machinery. You know, those pizzas you buy go through a machine. They just go through on that train thing, you know. And
He said, so he'd gotten saved. He was serving the Lord. He was tithing. He'd learned how to tithe. He was tithing 10% and more of his income. And the thought come to him one day. He said, you know, I could do this job for myself instead of working for somebody else. And he said, I prayed and I said, Lord, if you'll let me establish my own business, I'll give you half of everything that I earn. And he said, it wasn't a few weeks later, an empty building opened up, and one of the companies that they had made some machinery for had come to him and asked him, would he work for them? And he said, no, but if you'll come over here at my new company, I'll build you anything you want. So he started his own business. Now, it evolved into a business that they made one kind of machine. That was a machine that put the middle in the cookies that you eat. That creamy middle, he made the machine that when those cookies would go through there, it would put the cream on there and put them together. And then later on, he did that marshmallow thing, you know, where it piles the marshmallow on top of the cookie. And then later on, he made another machine that would wrap these things. And he would go to China. He'd fly all over the world. Never had a salesman. Never advertised. And within 5 or 6 years, he was a multi-millionaire flying all over the world. These big companies wanted him. If you got an Oreo, his machine did it. Over in China, they have a company called Choco Pie. And they said his wife said when he'd get off the airplane over there, those Chinese people, those business people would line up, you know, and they said, "Oh, Choco Pie King! Oh, Choco Pie King!" Little Debbie. He had the contracts with Little Debbie for those cakes and things that have a middle in them. And he gave 50% of everything that he made, he gave it to the Lord. And then later on, he said, that wasn't enough. He said, the business got so prosperous, he said, I just turned it around. He said, I kept 10%. I kept 10%, reinvested in the company, and kept part for me, and the rest of it went to the Lord. And he would give money to churches all over this country. He'd buy them buses. He'd build them buildings. He's that one I told you about that called me up that one time and said, could y'all use $10,000 on your building fund? And I said, wait a minute, let me check. Yeah, I think we can use that, Brother Mims. Now, why? Because he was smarter than us. No, sir. He honored the Lord with his increase, and God took care of him. Amen. You say, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I don't think you can afford not to. Amen. And besides that 10%, you're tithing that to somebody. I'm going to have to say that again real quiet. You're tithing that 10% to somebody. A lot of church members spend 10% on soft drinks. It don't take much to make 10%, amen? And a lot of church members spend it on vacations or just blow it. And then they get in trouble financially and they come down to church and they say, y'all pray for me, I don't know what happened, the devil's attacking me. It ain't the devil, it's you, you big dummy. If you go by the rules, God would honor that, but you're not honoring Him with your money, so He's not honoring you by blessing your money. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, the world says, if you want to be rich, then you just grab all you can, and you can all you grab. And you put it in the bank, and you draw interest. And just like the man that said, my barn's not big enough, I'm going to have to build bigger barns. And God said, thou fool! Tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. And then, who is all this going to belong to? We get things so, because we're influenced by the world, we came out of the world, and some of us don't separate enough from the world, we get so confused by what the world says compared to what God says, and we look at that and we say, well, if I give 10%, then I won't be able to pay something else. If you don't give 10%, you won't be able to pay something else. Because God's not going to bless what you're doing now. Come on. Boy, y'all getting quiet on me. Now, I don't know who's tithing. I don't look. I don't look. I don't know who's tithing. I don't want to know that because it might make me feel bad about some church members because I think they were stingy. But I'm not going to do that. But if you're going to hold office, I'll know. I'll find out. There won't be a deacon here that don't tithe. There won't be a Sunday school teacher here that don't tithe. There won't be a trustee here that don't tithe. My wife said she grew up in Presbyterian church, and they saw their treasurer one time a year at that church. Once a year, he came during elections for treasurer. And he got reelected every year, and he never came to church. And I don't think if he cared enough not to, that he wouldn't come to church, I doubt he tithed.
Amen?
Amen? And it surprised you how many people are in churches like that. And then they can't understand why they are not rich. Now, rich is a relative term. To one person, rich may be something that to another might look like poverty. Come on. If you're making $500 a week and you're tithing 50, then that sounds like a lot of money. But if you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, 10% is nothing according to the world. But to God, it's exactly the same thing.
Amen.
It's exactly. For the widow to throw in that widow's mite as a tithe, he judges her the same way as he does that man that puts $1,000 in as a tithe. Same way.
Amen.
Same way. People say, well, I don't have the money. You do have the money. If you'll honor God with the money and quit wasting it. I don't waste it. Yeah. Fellow shows up here once in a while, wants a ride. By the way, y'all don't give him no ride. We're done riding him. And he'll show up after church, or he has sat through two church services. And he's a great Christian to hear him say it, you know. But I told him the other night, he was wanting us to pay his light bill. I said, how much is it? He said, $160. I said, $160? How did you let it get to be $160? At my house, that wouldn't be but 1 month. I mean, my goodness, that's not a big light bill. And he said, well, I lost my job because they found out I was an ex-convict. I said, you didn't have no job to start with. You ain't worked since you've been coming over here. That's why you keep coming over here. I said, we don't hand out money. I said, if you get right with God, you get saved, you get in church, you serve the Lord, you tithe whatever, whether it's $1 or $1,000, you tithe it, you won't be running around here with your hands stuck out every week wanting somebody to pay your bill. Now, I'm not saying people don't have problems with their bills. I'm not saying we don't go through trials and tribulations. We do. We all go through those. But I'm saying this. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't know my situation. I do. I know some of you's got husbands that blow it. I know some of you's got wives that blow it. Some of you's got children that you let blow it. But if you want to be successful as a Christian and let God get the glory from your life, you start investing in Him and He will invest in you.
Amen.
Amen. I get tired of people coming here and criticize our church. Don't put a stinking dime in the offering plate.
Come on, man.
Come on. I get tired of people come here and criticize our singing. And they ain't never bought a songbook. They ain't never tithed to buy a songbook. Tithes bought those books. Amen. You won't make me mad. Just get me started on that kind of stuff. Amen. Now, people need help sometimes. And the Bible tells us to help people, especially the widows and orphans, especially. But if you like that guy from West Virginia that used to be sitting in my office door at church every Sunday wanting money, you need to get right with God. I told him that. I told him that. I said, these people in here, they come in here and they give. And they give, some of them out of their own need, they give. Trusting God's going to take care of them. And you sit up here and you want us to pay all your bills and you don't ever put a stinking dime in the offering plate. We're not doing this anymore. Go home and pray. Go home and pray. He paid my bills this week. Go home and pray. He paid their bills this week. Go home and pray. He'll pay yours. Amen? I better move on. I can tell people's getting mad. I feel the darts right now. When I was talking about peanut butter and jelly, y'all was laughing. Talking about apple fritters. Amen? And then I want you to notice verse 11. My son despised not the chastening of the Lord.
neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son, in whom he delighteth.
He's saying, if your father delights in you, he'll whip you. He'll chasten you. And of course, we know Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, if God doesn't chasten you, you're not one of his.
Amen.
The Free Will Baptists and the Pentecostals say, well, y'all Baptists, y'all believe in that once saved, always saved. You believe you just do anything you want to and still go to heaven. No, we don't. We believe you can do anything you want to, but watch out. There might be a whipping on the way.
Amen.
Amen? We're not going to get by with anything. Amen? And look, if you want to know you're loved by some, by your parents, it says right there, a father chastens his children, if he loves him. If you turn your children loose, that's a good sign you don't care nothing about them.
Come on now. Yeah.
Boy, that's even quieter than the tithing part. Come on, help me out. Ain't this supposed to be the amen pew up here on this side? If we turn our children loose and we let them do anything we want to, and we don't discipline them and chasten them, it's a sure sign we don't love them like we ought to love them. Because, see, it's too much trouble to chasten them. If I had a boy, I'd whip him sometime just for practice. I see these little boys running around and I think, boy, I could help that boy. I've told them, leave him over here. Hey, leave him at my house for a day or two. I'll help him.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll have him raking leaves, moving gravel. I'll find me a metal fly swatter like Mama used to have, one of them metal-handled fly swatters. Amen. I'm tanning his eyes. Just whipping for practice. Because I know he's going to need it later anyway. It ain't always what he's done. It's what's he going to do next. Amen. I know you got a good boy. He ain't never needed a whipping. I know. I know. He's looking at me like, no. Nah, yeah. I know you got a daughter and she ain't never needed a whipping. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, we used to be going to... You ain't never had a whipping? One? Well, that was enough, wasn't it? Amen. Hey, you're good if you can do it in one whipping. Boy, we used to be driving to church in York up there at Blessed Hope, and we'd be going up 161 before the four lane, you know, and we'd be running late as usual when you have four females in the car, and we're going up through there, and the kids are in the back, and they get to fight, and I'm going up the road, shut up, I'm trying to drive, I'm going to pull over and beat all of you, and I have pulled over and broke me off a switch and got them out of the car and whipped them right down the side of the road. He was quiet on that tithing part. Wasn't he? I'm glad God whips his children. It proves he cares about us. You let your young go and do anything they want to, and they're going to die early. They're going to have a ruined life. They're going to be unhappy all their life. Spoiled children are unhappy children. Sometime I'll be in Walmart or somewhere and some kid be, I want to walk over and tell the mama, can I talk to him? And if she says yeah, I say, shut up! He'd shut up if they do that. I'm going to beat the hide off of you. Is that on? Child abuse. DSS is going to be after me. Hey, we wouldn't have to build so many jails. Amen. We wouldn't have so many ruined grown men that act like children if we loved them like we ought to. And God loves us enough to whip us. Boy, I'm glad he does. He's took me to the woodshed. I can tell you that. I've been on my face before after a whipping, saying, God, please take your hand off of me. Please, God, I can't take no more. God, help me here. And God lift his hand. But if you want to have a good life and you want to feel loved, submit yourself to a heavenly Father that loves you enough to chasten you.
Amen.
We got a bunch of rebel Christians running around. Boy, it makes me sick. You know, I'm getting older. I'll be 64 in April. I know I don't look it, but I will be. I still got lots of hair and all but two teeth. I'm hanging on now. I just spent $1,500 on that one right there. But I'm going to keep those. I got to chew on something. But I'm getting older and I have less patience. And Brother Ron, I'm caring less and less what those men think about me. And it ain't going to be long. I'm going to see one of those jack-legged preachers in a store somewhere. With his torn-up blue jeans and his flip-flops and his spiked hair and a three-day-old beard, and he's calling himself Reverend, and I'm going to look at him, I'm going to say, boy, you need to grow up. Amen. You're not a pastor. Oh, got quiet on that? Amen. Designer jeans with studs on the pocket. Who wants to look at your pockets anyway? No man I know won't be looking at your back pockets. If he does, he ain't a man. Amen. Amen. But immature, unchastened, must not know the Lord if he's never chastened. But Pastor, we live in a different age. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He changes not. Look, he's the same God that your grandpa had to submit to.
Amen.
He's the same God that your grandma was chastened by.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And you know why? Because he loved them. And I like feeling loved.
Yes.
My number one problem growing up was I was turned loose. Yes. I was just turned loose. Didn't have a father. My mama couldn't do much with us. We were so mean. And we'd get up in the morning, summertime, take off. She wouldn't know where we were at. We'd be gone all day, come back, you know, after dark. Fuss with her, holler at her, complain. But I'm going to tell you something. After I became a teenager, I'd disappear for 2, 3, 4 days at a time. I would. I'm going to tell you something. If I'd had a daddy that loved me, he'd have hunted me down and beat the devil out of me and locked me in my room if he had to. Is that right? Say amen right there. You did the same thing. What you smiling about? You disappeared 3 or 4 days at a time, didn't you? You did? Because you had a daddy that loved you. Now you knew your daddy would come find you if you disappeared. His daddy would beat him. Don't listen to him. I'm trying to be serious. The man just blew my whole point. Well, I'm glad. Hey, I'm glad I got a Heavenly Father that'll run me down and he'll whip me. Why? Because he loves me. I don't want to be left unto myself. If I do everything the way I want to do it and everything I want to do, sometimes I'm going to be in trouble. I'm glad God comes along every once in a while and just slaps some sense into me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's getting quiet over here in my amen corner. Help me, Brother Ron. Help me. Look at verse 13 through 18, and we'll quit. I can tell y'all getting nervous. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. He's talking about understanding. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. What's he talking about, preacher? Wisdom and understanding. You want to be happy? Did anybody ever look at you and say, you're just stupid? They did me. They looked at me sometimes and said, boy, you're just stupid. I mean, nobody with any sense would have done what you just did. You're just stupid. I got called a lot stupid when I was young, a lot of times. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Amen. And some people are ignorant, but I wasn't ignorant. I was just dumb enough to go against what they told me. That made me stupid. Amen.
Amen.
And you ought not call it Bud Wiser. You ought to call it Bud Stupider. But he says, if you'll find this thing, and he names her as a woman, if you'll find her wisdom and understanding, you'll find something better than silver and gold. There's a lot of happy people without silver and gold. There's a lot of happy people without great things that this world calls great. He says, verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. And her left hand holds riches and honor. Now you find her, you're going to have it all. Amen?
Yeah.
You can have riches and honor and long life. I know you don't care, and I know it sounds real pious and real religious to say, well, I ain't worried about when I die, I'm ready to go. And I understand what you're saying. But if we was getting up a boatload tonight, you probably wouldn't get on it.
Come on, man.
We want length of days. I like living down here. I do. God's been good to me. I like going home every day and propping my feet up. You do too. Your wife's told me about you. And I like the things God has given to me. He's been good to me. I love my family. I love my church. If you're getting up a busload tonight and it's volunteers, I'll probably want to stay. I want length of days. I want to live a long time. Not only just for me, but for others too. I like helping people. I like preaching. I like teaching. I like encouraging people. I like what God's called me to do. I enjoy that. I enjoy life. I enjoy it. But if you're not wise and you don't understand what's going on in life, your days are going to get shorter and shorter and shorter until finally you're gone ahead of time. I said it the other week. I'm only 63. I'm not 64 yet. I'm 63. I'm only 63. And I can name you 20 people that was really younger, right, mate? They're gone. Friends, gone. At least 20. At least. Some of them died as teenagers. Some in their 20s, some in their 30s, some in their 40s, some in their 50s, some in their 60s. And it wasn't natural death. It was unnatural death. Car wrecks, motorcycle wrecks, stabbings, shootings, overdoses, liver cancer, lung cancer, all these things that they did to themselves. Because they wasn't looking for understanding. And they wasn't looking for wisdom. And they wasn't looking for knowledge. They were just looking to have fun. And by the way, I'm going to put this right here. It ain't got nothing to do with my sermon, but you'll understand it. If a man is 70 years old or older, and he's got an earring and a ponytail,
amen.
He quit growing when he was 16, Brother Billy. He just quit growing when he was 16. He thinks he's still a teenager. And he ain't going to live long. He don't live long. My mom was 99. They said, what's the secret? What was her diet? I said, she eat whatever she wanted to. What was her secret? She exercised every day. I said, no, she retired at 62 and didn't get off the couch. Well, what's her secret? Surely there's some kind of secret. I said, it's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. Well, she was a good woman. I said, no, she wasn't always a good woman. Well, she lived a good life. I said, no, she didn't always live a good life. God got in on it.
Amen.
And she found out, she found some wisdom, and she found some understanding. And now look at her. Wouldn't you like to live to be 99? Yeah, you would. I can tell you. And I wouldn't be like Mama. I'd tell her, she'll say, how old am I again? 65. I said, no, you're 99. She said, Lord, don't tell nobody. I'd put it on a sign somewhere, man. I could pay $1,500 billboards with my picture on it. 99th birthday. Hallelujah. They said he wouldn't make it. Oh, you want to live long, you better get close to God. Amen? Amen. If you want to be happy, you better get close to God. There used to be an old rock song that said, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife. Another fellow said, I saw your wife the other day. She's so ugly. He said, yeah, but she sure can cook. Beauty fades, amen? But food is always good. Get some wisdom. Get some understanding. That's why I tell people three to thrive. You're not going to get wisdom and understanding on TV. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. Foolish. Foolish. Now look at verse 2 again. We'll quit. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I want to live long and be happy, don't you? I want to live long and be useful, don't you? I've never been rich, but God's been good to me. He's took care of me. And since I learned how to repay Him a little bit and how I serve Him a little bit, and I honor Him with my increase, and I honor Him with my life, and I honor Him with my talents, I found out it's a whole lot easier living on this side than it was on the other side.
Amen.
Isaiah said the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, since I've been saved, I hadn't woke up and didn't know where I was at. Since I've been saved, I haven't woke up and then regretted what I did the night before. Since I've been saved, there's been a lot less guilt. Been a lot less heartache. A lot less trial and tribulation. Because God has adopted me. And now I give it to Him. If I fail, I'm going to put it on Him. If I succeed, I'll put it on Him. If I wake up in hell, they're going to have to turn it to heaven. Because I'm going to trust Him.
Amen.
I'm like old Job. Even after the skin worms eat these eyeballs, this flesh, I shall still see God. Because He's loved me enough to adopt me into His family and take care of me as His son, not His servant.
Amen.
Boy, that's good, ain't it? We'll be the happiest people in town.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be the happiest people in town. We'll go to work tomorrow and go to school tomorrow, and people walk up and say, what in the world's wrong with you? So there ain't nothing wrong with me. I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm happy about the whole thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope you are. If you're not saved tonight, tonight would be an easy night to get saved. You'll never find an easier place to get saved than right here. And if you are saved, but you're miserable, this is an easy place to lay it on the altar without people talking about you or criticizing you. Just bring it up here and lay it on the altar and let Him have it. Amen? Well, preacher, I got trouble with my health. Lay it on Him. I got trouble with my finances. Lay it on Him. I got trouble with my feelings and my emotions. Lay it on Him. My family, my children, whatever the case may be. Put it on Him. And then He'll give you understanding and He'll give you wisdom in how to deal with it. Amen?
Yes.
Let's stand. Come on. Come on. Let's stand.